Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we're able to be together again. I so look forward to this time every day where we can share the Word of God and just sense the presence of the Lord. He's so good, and I love Him, and I'm just so grateful for my spiritual family, those that listen by radio, and my UCM partners. Some have the ability to listen. If you ever miss the actual broadcast that comes through the airwaves, then please feel free to go at your convenience to unveilchrist.org and click on the broadcast on the website, and they are archived there for you to listen at your convenience. Praise God. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, we were discussing the importance of wanting to know God's will for our lives. Each and every one of us want direction from the Lord, and the marvelous, wonderful, beautiful concept is that it's not just some theological doctrine, but God loves, He's a personal God. He wants to interact with us. He wants to show us. I can't tell you the times I've, and it doesn't take much to stump me, whether it comes to technology or maybe some guy thing, mechanical stuff. I remember once, oh my goodness, this is a few years ago, this was in the days of VCRs, you know, you had videotapes, and the tape got all wound around, and it was one I'd gotten from the library, and I was really distressed, and so I Lord, I need your help. I mean, my first response was just get it somewhere to a video repair place or cassette, those video recorders. And I thought, well, I can't do that. At that point in time, I just had a bicycle to get around in. So the Holy Spirit showed me I had, you know, let me just say, one of the things I tend to be short on patience, and not necessarily with people, but with myself or with things. I want them to work when they're supposed to work. But one of the things you have to learn, if you want the Lord's guidance, you can't get angry and you can't get impatient. You just have to just calm down and allow the Lord to show you. And He will be delighted to do that. The Holy Spirit is an expert on everything, I've found. Anyway, the end of that story was success. And I felt so proud of myself. And the Holy Spirit is like, we did it, Lord. So I invite you to try that kind of close relationship, even with the simple little things of your day. And not only that, like you've got errands to run. When you go out, ask the Lord, which is the best way to proceed. He knows the traffic tie-ups. He knows what you're going to discover when you actually get out there on the highways. And so He has a wonderful way of making life easier for you if you will consult Him. The times, I've always said, Lord, help me before I leave the house. Ask, is there anything I'm forgetting? And when I forget it, well, you know what? I'm in my car halfway down the driveway, and I remember the Holy Spirit is very gracious. He lets me remember. So then I have to turn around, go back in the house and get it. And it was like, I hear these words, you didn't ask me. So hopefully, after, I don't know, repeated efforts and failures, I am learning to wait on the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you into this kind of exciting relationship with the Lord. He loves you and cares about you. All right, we were talking about the fact that God greatly desires to lead His people. He does not want to leave us in the dark. He wants to make His will, His direction known in our life, certainly in terms of major decisions. And my husband had a saying, when in doubt, don't, especially regarding major life changes. Wait on the Lord. Don't, just be in prayer about it. And And don't, well, if you've got a trusted godly friend, you may want to ask them to pray, but be careful about listening to advice, because they may or may not be hearing from the Lord. But you certainly can ask the Lord to confirm things, and He can do that by a prophetic word. Someone can make a comment that doesn't know anything about your situation, and you say, aha. And so He's able to make it clear. But not only in the major decisions of life, also in the small ones. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to be in doubt, or He doesn't want to be mysterious. He does want to show us His will. And so, to understand how God works, let us go to the Old Covenant and see how God led His people there. Well, after a 400-year period of time, the Israelites had known nothing but slavery. Oh, their stay in Egypt started pretty well when Joseph was ruling under the Pharaoh. But after that much time had elapsed, a king arose, of course, who did not know Joseph. And they saw how God blessed the Israelite people, how they multiplied. They became fearful of them. They made them slaves and had them in cruel and hard bondage. So at the right time, you see, God had it all planned out. He even told Abraham. He said, they'll spend 400 years in Egypt. He let him know, the patriarch, their forefather, understand what was going to happen after his days. And so when God led them out, they were free men, and He was taking them through the wilderness. And it wasn't His will that they wandered for 40 years, but they were disobedient. He wanted to bring them into the Canaan land, the promised land, right away, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they saw the problems. Oh, there's giants there. Oh, there's great walled and fenced cities. And only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, the Lord is with us. Their defense is gone from them. We are well able to take the land. Of course, the negative influence of the 10 persuaded all the people, and they murmured and complained. And as a result, none of that generation entered into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness, and their children were given the privilege of entering. So He nonetheless, all that time, He led them in a very tangible way, by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. And nothing is more evident than a cloud in the desert or light in darkness. And so he was not trying to be mysterious. He was making it very clear. When the cloud stood still, they were to camp there. When it started to move, they were to follow. Just that simple. Now, let us spend some time looking at the characteristics of cloud and fire. What's a cloud? Because there are lessons to be learned through these symbols. Well, Sister Glass, it's those white puffy things we see in the sky occasionally. Not always. Sometimes we've got a clear sky, especially in California. Things are pretty much the same all the time. However, in different parts of the country, that's not always true. However, everyone, I believe, if they have visual sight, understands what a cloud is. But let me give you the definition. You know I love to do that. By definition, Webster says, a cloud is a visible mass of particles of water or ice in the form of a fog, mist, or haze, suspended usually at a considerable height in the air. So, that's what a cloud is. Did you know that? I didn't, actually. I never really thought about what a cloud was, but it's a form of water or ice suspended in a mist or haze, which we see. And, of course, in very hot days, we're very grateful for clouds because it prevents the heat of the sun from penetrating to some degree. Now, the fact is, this is a cloud, and a cloud is water. Oh, there's a lot of symbolism in that, because water, just in a scientific sense, is absolutely necessary for life. In fact, the various scientists that are probing the universe to see if there's life on other planets, you know, unless there's water, some sign of water there, they know it's inhabitable by any kind of life form. So water is essential for life. And before the flood, water just sort of came up from the earth and nourished the vegetation. But after the flood, when those 40 days of rain came, God set his rainbow in the sky to indicate he would never destroy the world again by a flood. But rain became a part of man's experience. And we all understand what natural rain is. It's wonderful. It's normal. It's desired, unless it's torrential and causes flooding. Of course, then it's a little in excess. But water represents the Word. It's the water of the Word. Man does not live by bread alone. Isn't that right? He needs the Word of God. So water and bread refer to the living Word. And of course, the Bible is a living Word, and it also refers to the living Word, which Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. Let me share a scripture with you found in Psalm 104, 13 and 14. Speaking of the Lord, He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he might bring forth food out of the earth. Now, there's another natural phenomenon called dew, and again, the Lord is the provider and supplier of that. Proverbs 3 and 20 says, "By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew." And a beautiful passage in the prophet, minor prophet Hosea 14 and 5 says, referring to the Lord, "I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as the lily and spread his root as Lebanon." And then, perhaps maybe not a terribly familiar scripture, but a beautiful one found in Isaiah, the 18th chapter, verse 4, "God will watch quietly from his temple in Jerusalem, serene as a pleasant summer day or a lovely autumn morning during harvest time." Another translation says, "I will look on quietly like shimmering heat in sunshine, like a cirrus cloud of dew in the heat of harvest." Praise God. Isn't that lovely? Amen. Well, praise God. My time is just about gone, and I want to take a moment to invite you to share your prayer needs and to become part of my spiritual family. I know you'll be blessed as I would share a personal letter with you, whatever God gives. And here's a brief portion of a brother writing from Los Banos. He says, "Hi, Judith. Bless you in Jesus' name. You're a great and faithful servant in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to read and hear your words of encouragement that go forth as light in a world in need of light." Praise God. That's a brother writing from Los Banos. Well, it's been a blessing, a joy to minister to you, and I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give you our contact information, and join me tomorrow, if possible, at this same time, and we'll pick up where we left off, continuing on the cloud and the fire. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.